10 o'clock.
Good morning. And welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ today here in our service this morning. We thank you for coming. We invite those tuned in on the radio this morning as well. Thank you for joining us. Wish you the Lord's blessings there too. And yes, blessed to be together to receive the Lord's gifts that he has for us and to offer him our prayers and our praise and our gifts as well. Our service this morning begins with hymn number 398, which is Hail to the Lord's Anointed. And we do invite the congregation to please stand if you're able on the last verse of our hymn this morning. Let's sing together hymn 398. We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 28. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock. Be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands towards your most holy sanctuary. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. We continue with our Kyrie this morning, spoken there on page 4 in your bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, let your merciful ears be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and grant that what they may ask may be in accord with your gracious will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our first reading this morning from the Old Testament comes from the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 35. Here, just a quick comment on this text in the beginning, verse 4. It says, "Say to those who have an anxious heart," anxiety there being afraid because of sin and death, or anxious because we're unable to carry out what we feel burdened to carry out, anxious because of our weakness. We begin in verse 4 here of chapter 35. "Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite you to join us in our responsive psalm this morning from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God.
Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation.
When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever. For God will sign to all generations. Praise the Lord.
Amen. We continue with our epistle lesson this morning from the second chapter of the book of James. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, "You sit here in a good place," while you say to the poor man, "You stand over there," or "Sit down at my feet," have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones who oppress you, and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to please stand now, if you're able, for the Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. From there, Jesus arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowds privately, he put his finger into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our sermon hymn for today? It's hymn 528, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." Let's sing together. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. How do we deal with these words of Jesus this morning in the gospel reading to the Syrophoenician woman, to the Gentile woman? They're kind of harsh sounding. Kind of a tough text, isn't it? Something that doesn't really sound that nice. In verse 27, if you want to look at it with me, Jesus' words, "Let the children be fed first," he says to the woman, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And it might seem harsh, but in this text, it's epically important, as it is in every text of the scripture, to keep in context what's going on in Mark's gospel, specifically in the 7th chapter. Because right before this text was last week's gospel reading, you might recall, the reading was Jesus saying, it's not what goes into a person that defiles them. Do you remember that? But what comes out of a person that defiles them. So, since we can take our Lord Jesus at his word, of course, if it's what comes out of a person that is what defiles them, then it is also what comes out of a person that justifies them? Answer's yes. The answer's yes. Listen to Romans chapter 10, verse 10 with me this morning. With the heart, one believes and is justified, and with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 12. For out of the abundance of the heart, he says, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So Jesus knows it's not what goes into a person that identifies God's saving work in their heart. It's what comes out that shows that. Jesus recognizes God's work in choosing of a person for salvation based on what comes out of their heart through their mouth. By the Jewish people at that time, the Gentiles were seen as dogs. They had no respect for them. They used that word to describe them. They were seen as defiled before God. But what was that defilement based on in the Jewish mind? Well, they ate unclean things like pork or shellfish or other things that the law called unclean. Jewish people would not even sit down at table with Gentile people because they saw them as defiled based precisely on the things that went into them. And just before last week's gospel lesson, his disciples were accused in a similar way. They were accused of eating with unwashed hands and not holding to the tradition of the elders. Basically, they're accused of acting like Gentile dogs. So our Lord, in his infinite wisdom and compassion, in our text this morning, literally uses their own language, their own titles for Gentiles, in this situation, with his Jewish disciples and this Gentile woman. And he calls her by the Jewish degrading term for her in front of them, dog. Why? Well, it's not because Jesus thought her or any other Gentile to actually be a dog. But in order to teach his disciples, don't miss this, in order to teach his disciples one of the most important lessons about faith, Jesus loved this woman with the same love for Gentiles that he'd already shown us in the context of Mark's gospel. At the end of chapter 6, when they're carrying people to him in Gennesaret, they're carrying the sick to him. In verse 55 of chapter 6, he's healing them. And we know that that region of Gennesaret, even though lots of Jews, also Gentiles. Mark's been setting us up to see this from the beginning of his gospel, at least specifically from the beginning of chapter 6. Remember what happens there. But Jesus is rejected, not by Gentiles, but by his hometown people. And after our text this morning, just so we get the full context, where does he go but to the Decapolis, right? He heals a deaf man. We heard the text on the heels of this one about the Syrophoenician woman. Could have easily been a Gentile in the Decapolis, too, that he's healing. Jesus wants his disciples in this account to hear, to see, and to understand our gospel reading this morning about Jesus with the Syrophoenician Gentile woman is literally an object lesson of what he's teaching them just prior to this. That it's not what goes into a person that would defile them, but what comes out. And he wants you and I to learn this lesson too, and to understand it well. It's not what goes in, it's what comes out that defiles. It's what comes out, as we saw from the text, that justify by telling us what God has already done his work to put in. Because from the content of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what comes out? This is the amazing part about this text. What comes out of the Syrophoenician woman? Faith. We hear it in the recording of the text, but the disciples standing there hear it too. Faith. She answered him. Even though he purposefully chose to use this as a lesson, and he chose a derogatory term even, in the language of the Jewish people of that day to refer to Gentiles. But notice, she doesn't attempt to justify herself in her response. She didn't argue with the degraded title at all. She wasn't really offended by it, but she knew her humble place within the social world at the time. She was aware of it. How does she respond? Well, it's in verse 28. She literally responds, "Yes, Lord." Yes, Lord. When he says that to her. See, if your Lord says something to you, important to hear him, right? She says, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And at that, that statement of faith that's coming out of her, Jesus says, "For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Friends in Christ, Jesus wants us to learn this lesson too, and to learn it good. Because the fact is, the way that we judge people today isn't right either. Our social norms can lead us astray too. I take for example, say you show up to church this morning, really pumped up about Bible class. I know, I get pumped up. And as you round the corner over here, there's somebody standing right by the front door and they're smoking a cigarette. How are you going to look at that person? How are you going to look at him? Doesn't exactly fit our social norms either. Many people, not saying you for sure, many people would look down on that person very much and say, what are you doing? You're not supposed to do that here. Or what about the people as you're driving through town, drive past that, you know, fun little marijuana shop? How do you feel about the people parked there? How about when you see a homeless person who just could work, but they're choosing not to, or somebody whose teeth are eroded from the use of meth? Just a couple examples to throw out there to the fact and point that we're so prone to look at other people and judge them harshly and think we have them pegged based on what goes into them. They're not holy and righteous if they're, you know, doing those things. Our Lord wants us to know that what makes anyone clean, what makes anyone righteous, what makes anyone undefiled before God, he said it, not me, is not what goes into them, but what comes out. It's about their confession of faith in Jesus Christ. That's where Jesus wants the focus, brothers and sisters. Not on whether or not people take into themselves things that we see as defiling in our culture, but he wants the focus to be on what we confess and what comes out of the heart through the mouth. Listen to him again in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. There he says, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Long and short of that is faith speaks. Faith does good works to the neighbor. That's what James was teaching us this morning. He was teaching us in the epistle lesson. We're saved, it's true, by faith alone, but faith is never alone. It always has works with it. They're one and the same. Man, our faith, see, it wasn't given to us so that we could lift ourselves up above other people that we might look down on for what goes into them. That's just one example, of course. It was given us that we might share and truly love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves, and humbly share Christ, knowing our place as his servants. Not as self-righteous people who think that we've got it all together based on what goes into us. Or at least what we think people think goes into us, right? Friends, it's about what comes out of us. Not really what goes in. We have to say, quick disclaimer here, it's true that faith in Christ, that the scriptures work in us, does change us. It can cure addiction. And it can bring about a more wholesome life based on what goes in. And God certainly leads us as Christians in that direction, doesn't he? To remove those things that do harm our bodies and cause problems in our lives. Absolutely. But those are blessings of God. Those are the fruit. That's not an initial requirement for heaven. So what should we look toward to show what a person is righteous according to God? What comes out of them? Their confession of faith, their need for Jesus, their love for their neighbor. On this note, people often misunderstand completely the reason for coming to church or receiving the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We don't come in this building or receive the sacrament because we have our lives all together. We come here because as Christians, we remain in need of Jesus and his word and his forgiveness and his mercy constantly. We're all defiled. Remember what he said in chapter 12 of Matthew's gospel? I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's some heavy-duty law, right? That's even hard to hear, honestly. Hard to engage with that. But the scripture warns us. James warns us about our tongues in the next chapter, chapter 3. He says, for every kind of beast and bird or reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame their tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison, is how he puts it. The scripture binds us all under sin this way. It helps us understand what's coming out of us. What the scripture tells us is true. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody's tongue has spewed poison. But this is what drives us to church, right? Brings us to Christ and to his sacrament and to his gifts, our need, our confession that Jesus is the only righteous one. And we're only safe because he died for us, not because of what goes into us compared to somebody else. Jesus' words this morning change the way we see what defiles people and what makes people holy and righteous. What made the Gentile woman in our text this morning, the Syrophoenician woman, what made her deserving of Jesus' help? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But what came out of her? What came out of her mouth? That faith revealed what God had already done in her heart to Jesus. And that faith in Jesus, get this, right? Made her, showed her, revealed her to be, and quite incredibly ironically, I don't know if I should say those two words together, incredibly ironically, when she said what she said, yes, Lord, but don't the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table? When she said that, it ironically showed us and the disciples, who the object lesson was for in the first place, that this girl actually wasn't a dog at all. She was a child with a seat at the table as soon as she spoke. It's incredible how wise our Lord is and how he did this, not just for her, but also for his boys who were standing there watching. It's like, let me teach you a lesson, boys, on how faith really works. She's got a place at the table, and she's not even a Jew. From their perspective, I mean, big question mark there. That's what he's teaching. That's what this text reveals, the irony in the words that he chooses within the narrative. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But her confession reveals that she's not a dog at all, right? But that the faith God put in her actually had made her a child. She didn't have a place under the table with the crumbs, no, no. But at the table. Same place we have a spot. Same place you have a spot this morning. It's our confession of faith. It's what comes out of us that identifies us as true children. There's nothing else. And it's hard. But Jesus comes to us again this morning. If you didn't hear anything else I said, hear this. He comes this morning, much like he came to the Syrophoenician woman. Because this morning, what does God's word say about you? Says something kind of harsh. Says it about me too, but it says something kind of harsh. It says you're a sinner. And it says I'm a sinner. And it feels kind of harsh, just like what we read in the Syrophoenician woman's story. Should we argue? Should we defend ourselves against this and say, whoa, hold on just a second now. I'm not as bad as so-and-so over here, Lord. Let me tell you. No. But humbly, we can say along with the woman in our text, yes, Lord. Admit our sin. And maybe say this. It's a lot like what the Syrophoenician woman's response is. Yes, Lord. But didn't Jesus die for sinners? Faith speaks. And it's incredible, friends. Because as we confess those things, it shows what God has done in our heart. Right? We're not going to defend ourselves against our Lord. If He says we're sinners, then we're sinners. Right? And even though it doesn't feel good and it feels a bit harsh, it's a statement of faith. Because what God has told us, we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts. It shows God's work in our heart. See, people, hang with me on this, that are about the work of building their own righteousness. Going around trying to do all the right things, say all the right things, don't cuss or chew or run with girls that do. If they're about that work, and I'm not saying some of that isn't pretty good advice, right? But if that's what they're doing, is as they go about trying to live a good life, they're actually doing it trying to bolster their own image, right? Trying to make themselves like okay with God by who they are and how they live. If that's the motivation that's going on, watch what happens when you call that person a dog or a sinner. They're not going to receive that. Oh no. Don't call me a sinner. I'm not a sinner. Did you ever sin? Well, yeah. Okay. This is what our Lord says. It's not what we say, right? This is the scripture that tells us that. See, hearing the truth about ourselves, sometimes we resist it, sometimes it feels harsh, but it's our salvation in disguise, friends. It's showing us that in and of ourselves, there's nothing we can accomplish. But our Lord Jesus on His cross and in His resurrection has accomplished it all for us. So we can agree with His words. What He says about us can feel kind of harsh. But He says some other things too, doesn't He? That we're His own children, that we have a seat at His table even this morning to receive His very body and blood and the forgiveness of sins that He died for. That's why He went, for us. And He gives it to us this morning by grace and by love and by mercy, because He loves you and He loves me and He forgives all of our sins, and we stand before Him as His own child. And He has a seat for you this morning at His table. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. This time we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and on the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and He will come again to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. But I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who is spoken by the prophets. But I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins.
Please be seated. We come to our time now for our prayer of the church this morning. Our response for our prayers today is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, open our deaf ears to hear your word, that our tongues would be released to proclaim your Son has done all things well. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, you have commanded your church to take the word of life to the ends of the earth. Strengthen and support all who speak on behalf of Christ and carry out by your strength the church's mission. Lord, give them wisdom and courage as they tell others about Christ. Bless their hearers with hearts that are receptive to your gifts. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, help parents to raise their children to know you as their help and their hope. Lord, help those who are not parents. Lord, as they go about their daily tasks and vocations, Lord, help us all not to put our trust in princes in whom there's no salvation, Lord, but to recognize you at work in our world through the word, through the sacraments, as you work in us to care for one another. Lord, help us see the way you work on our hearts and have us confess the truth of your Son's death and resurrection for us. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we place our hope in you and ask your blessing this morning upon Joseph, our president, upon Kamala, our vice president, upon Jared, our governor, upon Ty Coleman, our mayor, and all rulers and leaders and judges, that their plans would be ordered for the welfare of those who they govern, and that you would execute your justice for the oppressed. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, graciously behold the sick and those in need. Lord, especially we name before you the victims of Appalachie High School in Georgia. Lord, the people that did that crime, Lord, that we lift them to you. And the people who were hurt and the people whose family members were lost or injured. Lord, also we name before you this morning those in our prayers. We lift up to you Laverne. We lift up Donna Erke, Richard Lynch, the Gertie's family, Janice Ross, Betty Mae Paulson, Lori Hauser, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Geary, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, give us a humble yet urgent faith that would beg even for crumbs from your Son's table, that as your true children we may receive the fullness of the feast he gives in his own body and blood. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, create and sustain in us a lively faith in Christ Jesus, and lead us by your Spirit to be active in all good works. Lord, bless our school ministry here at Trinity. Strengthen and uphold our school board, our teachers and staff. Bring about fruit from their work of planting, that the harvest may be plentiful. And Lord, bless our congregation here at Trinity. Lord, bless those who are not able to be here this morning. Lord, remind us all, each and every day, of your love and your forgiveness and your faithfulness. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, source of all life and the life that never ends, Receive our prayers this day in the name of your beloved Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. This time we come to a time in our service where we have the opportunity to return to the Lord a portion of those things that he's blessed us with in our tithes and offerings. Let's enjoy some instrumental music from our organists as our offerings are collected and presented. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service. Wish you the Lord's blessings throughout the coming week. If you're gathered here with us in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 12 in your bulletin and to please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you. And may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. 14 active wildfires burning in California right now, and firefighters are battling the flames in 100-plus degree temperatures. One blaze is so intense, forecasters say it created its own weather pattern, and many residents are deciding when and how to leave.
We live in a condominium that's really close to other people, so we want to have our go bag, and we want to feel like we have a plan.
That's Megan Dowdall in the city of Novato. 2 days to go till the ABC News presidential debate between Democrat Kamala Harris and former President Trump. This weekend, Trump campaigned in Wisconsin. Harris is debate prepping while also campaigning in Pittsburgh. The debate could be critical for both, as a New York Times Siena College poll has Trump and Harris neck and neck, 47-48%. And a developing story, Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill is free after being detained by police in a traffic stop right before today's game against Jacksonville. Video appears to show Hill handcuffed face down on the ground. This is ABC News.
Back to what you've been waiting for. Southern Colorado is KSPK country.
He had hard work caked on his overalls, sweat on his neck, chow in his jaw, when a stranger pulled up and met him outside his barn. Said, sir, I don't know if you ever would, but I built houses and neighborhoods, and I was wondering if you'd ever want to sell your farm. With his old dog barking and running around, he paused for a second, spit on the ground and kicked a little gravel, looked down.